Good evening, everybody. Let's take a moment at this time so we can enter into prayer together. Heavenly Father, we want to come before you tonight and thankful for everything. We want to thank you first and most importantly for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for what he did for us at the cross. We thank you also that he is at your right hand right now as our high priest and interceding for us. And we also thank you, Father, that we are being conformed into his image, and that one day at the rapture, we will see him and we will also be like him. And we're just looking so much forward to what the future holds for us, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And tonight, Father, we just ask that your word and the Spirit would help give us more motivation in that direction. And we also want to pray, Father, for the needs of the saints tonight. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. All right, please turn your Bibles to, guess, Romans 8. That's right. Good. Right. That's it. So we, of course, were blessed to have Keithy and Starling here on Sunday, and that was a wonderful time. And also, let's see, is there anything we need to cover tonight? I don't think so. I think we're pretty good. All right, again, yeah, Romans 8, 1. Title of tonight's message is this: Every Spiritual Blessing? Wow. We'll see what that's all about. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We see there's no condemnation. We see also that we're in the greatest place in the universe in Christ Jesus. And we see in verse 2, this is just to warm up by way of review, that we have a new revelation that gives the reason. You know, why is there no condemnation for us through in Christ Jesus? How does God bring that about? And we see it's a new law, a new revelation, that the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of the sin and death. And we saw by looking at the Greek word nomos that law can mean a given principle acting uniformly. And this is by way of encouragement, because what we're seeing here is that the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is inside us, and he's already accomplished this. That's the indicative mood. He's already freed us up forever from the law of sin and of death. And not only that, but since he's in us now, he's also continuing to work in that direction in our lives, and it's uniform. He is operating uniformly in our life to help us get closer and closer to what we're ultimately going to be, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so a law, it happens over and over again, and the Holy Spirit over and over again is going to do the things that we're going to see in the rest of chapter 8 of the book of Romans. For example, by the Spirit, we are putting to death the deeds of the body. And that is a given principle acting uniformly in our life now. He reminds us of the fact that we're adopted. And that's something he does over and over again, uniformly. And so we need to understand that that's what this is talking about when it says a law, that the Spirit is operating in a uniform way according to that life of Christ Jesus. We also saw that it can mean this. It can mean a type of abstract governing power. And so that this also means that there's power that the Spirit has applied and still applies in our lives. And that power comes from the very life of Jesus Christ. And we've also seen that the Holy Spirit is the agent that is influencing us and exerting and applying this power in a given place. And, of course, that place is for all who are in Christ Jesus. So to kind of wrap it all up, that one little word law can mean and does mean here the governing power that prevails uniformly in a given sphere or place. And that place is in Christ Jesus. For all those who are in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the governing power that prevails. And he prevails uniformly in this place. And I also like to note, by starting tonight, that there's something that's repeated in verse 1 and verse 2. There's a lot of things that are different in verse 2 from verse 1. But there's one phrase that's repeated. And it's that phrase, that wonderful, glorious phrase that I can't get. There it is. In Christ Jesus. Now, we take that for granted, but gosh, we shouldn't. I mean, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of life, that life is where? In Christ Jesus. And guess what? We're in Christ Jesus. And we should never forget that. And so I think we should go there tonight. I think we should go to that place that we can always... Now, we know we're in Christ Jesus, but the Bible also tells us to abide in him. You know what that means? It means to be aware of it and to go there often in terms of our thinking and our needs and solving our problems. That's what abiding means. And so tonight we're going to do some of that. You know, we're going to abide in Christ Jesus tonight. We are in him. There's no doubt about it. And yet what that tells us, you see, the key about that is when you see that that's true, and obviously at some level you've known that for a long time, so have I. But the thing about this spiritual life is that we continue to have our eyes open. Paul, after he was saved over 25 years, said this. His desire in life, his one desire was that he may come to know Christ. There's always more. We're going to be knowing more about Christ for all of eternity. After all, we're talking about a person who God says what he's going to do and is doing is that he's reconciling all things to himself through this person, Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ, he's summing up all things in Christ. Now, when you think about all things, that's a big scope. That's a lot of things. And the way in which he's doing that is multifaceted. You know, you can see it on one level with people. You can say, wow, you know, the thing about this church is that there's not many wise, not many mighty, but there's also people from every nation. And there's also all kinds of people. I think you probably noticed that. All kinds of people that come from all kinds of different places, both geographically, but also in terms of their race, but also in terms of their upbringing, but also, you know what, in terms of their faults, in terms of their handicaps, in terms of their unique struggles, in terms of that one place in their life that doesn't seem to ever work out. And that's different for everybody. But you see, once you're in Christ Jesus, God says he's going to work all those things together for good. Once you're in Christ Jesus, he says he's reconciling all of that to himself. And what that means is that we no longer have to be ashamed about anything about us. We no longer have to think that, well, you know what, I've got to fix this first and then I'll be acceptable to God. No, that's not true for those who are in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, the power of the Spirit is at work in your life, you know, whether you realize it or not, and hopefully you're going to realize it more and more and more. That's why we go back to the Word again and again and again. The power of the Spirit, God's power now, is at work bringing that to the conclusion that God wants to have. Like Joseph, you know, Joseph in the prison. Not a very good place to be. Not a very good picture about how you want life to be. And yet, what does he say at the end? He says, hey, you know, you may have meant it for evil. And you can say this about your upbringing. You can say this about whatever it is about your body that you don't like. And I don't mean just appearance, but I mean the fact that it's where the flesh dwells and the fact where there's things you just don't like about how you operate. All those things, you know, Satan may have meant that for evil, but God means it for good. And so when we realize that we're in Christ Jesus, that's a key. And it's a very practical key because it turns out that that phrase, in Christ or in him, appears again and again and again and again and again and again in the New Testament. And you take that key with you. And every time you see it, you can put that key in and open into something that tells you something else about how great it is to be in Christ. And so that's what we're going to do a little bit tonight. When we know that we're in Christ and we use that key, it opens doors. And it opens doors to the most marvelous things you can imagine. The most incredible blessings. The greatest happiness. It's all there. You know, after Sunday service, Keith Ian and Dale and I were standing around talking for a little while. And all of a sudden, I didn't hear the whole conversation because I wanted Dale and Keith Ian to bond. But I heard, all of a sudden, I heard, you know, Dale talking. And he said a couple of marvelous things. The first thing he said, you know, I never get used to the idea. The Bible tells us that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then, but what he said right after that, which is what I like even better. And I don't have it. That's a bummer. Well, this is what he said. I don't have it. I have to have that. I don't have it. Too bad. This is what he said. He says, Ephesians 1 says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And this is what he said. He says, I want to find out what all those blessings are. And that just hit me as like, yes, that's exactly right. But how often do we think that way? I mean, you know, so often we think that's a great expression. I don't really know what it means and I'm going to move on. But Dale stopped and he said, I want to know what all those blessings are. What a great attitude. What a great mindset, you know? We can all take from that and say, yeah, so do I. That's what I was thinking when he was saying it. I'm like, you know, you're right. That's what I want too. I want to know what all those blessings are that have been up there for me since eternity past. And how do we do that? Well, guess what? The Spirit was given to us so that we could know that. The Spirit was given to us to disclose to us all these kinds of things about Christ. For example, look at John 16, 14. I don't have this in my notes, Mark. Sorry about that. But I want you to see John 16, 14 as we're getting into this tonight. John 16, 14. Look what it says about the Spirit here. And actually, we'll begin in verse 13. This is an audible, so I'm not really, you know, totally on top of my game here. So we can start in verse 13, and then we'll go to 14. Make a note of that for posterity. John 16, 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, I want you to make this personal. Oh, yeah, he said it to the disciples, I know, 2,000 years ago. But tonight he's saying it to you, and he's saying it to me. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, and he's come, he will guide you into all the truth. So you can know every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Why? Not because you're a genius, or even because you're a great reader, but because you have the Spirit inside who will guide you. He said, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, I love this picture, whatever he hears, he will speak. Who's he hearing from? He's hearing from Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And by the way, what is to come includes every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He will glorify me. Why? For he will take of mine. He will take of the substance of who Christ is. Every spiritual blessing, because after all, Jesus Christ is every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I mean, that's just that simple. He will take of mine and he will disclose to you. What a wonderful thing to realize. That's what the Spirit is doing. He is taking of Christ and disclosing it to you. It reminds me of when, in the book of Genesis, Abraham wants to get a wife for Isaac. He wants to get a wife for Isaac, and he doesn't want the wife to be from the land of Canaan. He doesn't want a pagan wife. So he sends his servant back to where Abraham came from, where his family and relatives are. And so the servant goes, and he's looking for a particular sign and to recognize who the woman is. Now, of course, it's going to be Rebecca, and there's ways in which he figures out it's her. But he went a long way. If you know, it was hundreds of miles that he went from where Abraham was in Canaan and back to where Abraham came from. And so while he's there, he's telling the woman, listen, you know what? We're going to go on a long journey. And since it's going to be a long journey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you things and show you things about your new husband. And that's what the servant did all the way on the journey back to the promised land where Isaac, the son, was waiting. Now, do you get the picture? That's us. You see, we are the bride of Christ. We're on a long journey. I don't know how long more, but we've been on a long journey, and we've probably got some more left, up to get to the point where we're going to be introduced face to face with our husband, our Lord Jesus Christ. But now we're on the journey. We're on pilgrimage. We're pilgrims. And along the way, we have the servant, the helper, the Holy Spirit, disclosing us things about Jesus, who we're going to be married to one day. And that's what he does. But it's a marvelous thing to think about. That includes every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And his job is to disclose these things to us. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I want to know those spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, here they are. See, this is the remarkable thing. You see, you read something or think about something like that, and it seems impossible, but then you start to notice in other places in the Word of God, wait a minute, we're told that we can actually do this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, because doesn't it feel like that when you hear that expression, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, you're thinking, well, I've never been to the heavenly places. How do I know what that is? And besides, it's a spiritual blessing. I get the physical blessings. I get, wow, you know what? I got a raise at work. I get that. You know, wow, I prayed that some health problem would go away. It went away. That's a physical blessing. You know, I want to have a child. I have a child. That's a physical. But spiritual blessing, what is that? We're sort of handicapped in a couple of ways when we think about spiritual blessings and heavenly places. Because we're on earth and we're much more aware most of the time, unfortunately, of the physical around us, the things that our senses can declare. But yet, this is what the Bible says. It says, no, wait a minute, though. You are able to know, see things that eye has not seen. So you can do this. You can get to the spiritual. Ear has not heard, and it hasn't entered into the heart of man, that God has prepared for those who love him. And then the question is, how? All right, I get it. I like the promise that I'm going to know these things. How? Just keep reading. Verse 10. For, notice this. Again, make this personal tonight. For to you. For to me, for to us. God revealed them. How? Through the Spirit. Why? For the Spirit searches all, there it is again, all things. Even, I love this phrase, the depths of God. So that what seemed to be impossible all of a sudden seems really possible. Wait a minute. So, okay, so I have the Spirit inside of me. Yep. And he searches all things. He's got no obstacles to what he can find out from me, and even the depths of God he searches. So I get it. So that heavenly places and blessings, kind of that's met by, that's balanced, that's equaled out by somebody who can pierce the depths of God. I can't do it, but if somebody can, they certainly can show me every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, right? Because he can, even the depths of God the Spirit can go to. So certainly he can tell me the things that God has already placed in Christ Jesus for me. So all of a sudden, what seems impossible is real possible. And I hope that this is something that we say to ourselves, well, given that I can know every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and given that it's the Holy Spirit who's going to reveal these things to me, all of a sudden, what do you want to know? I want to know more about what the Spirit's doing in my life. You see? And that's the whole idea of this. What does that mean about what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life? By the way, what book are we in right now? 1 Corinthians, the church at Corinth. See, I love that this incredible thing about the Holy Spirit was first revealed to the most screwed up, division-plagued, sin-drenched church imaginable. Doesn't that tell you something about the grace of God? You see, what it tells us is that God is not looking at our failures. He's not looking at our mistakes. He's not looking at where we don't measure up. He's always looking at his son. And all he's always doing is pushing us towards his son in every possible way. That's why the Spirit's inside us. That's why we can be like Paul and say, I'm forgetting the things that lie behind. For Corinth, there was a lot of things. For Paul, there was a lot of things. He had to forget murdering people and all kinds of stuff. The church at Corinth had to forget, well, you know, I can get into the litany, but, you know, it's a family station we're on right now. But there are a lot of terrible things that were going on. But that was no obstacle to God. He says, I'm going to reveal this stuff to the church at Corinth. And that way everybody realizes, I'm talking to you too. So I love that. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. The Spirit was given to us to disclose every kind of thing about Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Things that our eye has never seen, the Spirit reveals to us. He's going to bring us to all truth. See, I think our problem is, I don't think our problem in this is God. I don't think our problem in this is what the Bible says. I don't think that's a problem at all. You see, our problem is that we've got this little part of us that is always saying what Deacon Brian Tappert said one time about what our problem is. Yeah, but, right? Can't you hear that voice already when you hear every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? And you've had help in this, yeah, but, because there have been plenty of religions and plenty of pastors and plenty of other ones that will give you the yeah, but. But the thing about it is the yeah, but's not in the Word. And so the more that we can just say, you know what, Lord, I don't see it all. I don't get it all. And I still come back to me and all the problems. But I'm going to try to just shut that all out for a little while and just imagine, what if this is true? What if the Spirit is inside of me and is leading me to all truth? What would that mean? How would my life be different if I believed and saw operating in my life and trusted in the fact that the Spirit of God is in me and he's leading me to all truth? How would my life be different if I knew and was in touch with and didn't listen to all the negativity that goes on around me and in me and instead just said, wait a minute, he's going to show me things that my eye has never seen and my ear has never heard. And as a matter of fact, it's never even dawned on me in the deepest part of me, but he's going to show me this. And it's part of every spiritual blessing. And it's part of who Christ is. And it's part of what Christ wants to give to me. Now, as well as for all of eternity. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, Paul, I bow my knees before the Father. By the way, we're used to the idea of people bowing their knees and praying, right? Those of us that grew up Catholic are definitely, we're into that. We knew what it meant to bow. Do you realize, though, that that was not the normal position for a Jew to pray? That actually a Jew prayed standing up. And probably with his hands up like this. So when he was bowing his knees before the Father, he's saying, this is extraordinary. This is not run-of-the-mill praying right now. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family, notice the scope of this, in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant, make it personal, you. Don't be doing what a lot of people do. Well, that'll be me someday, or the Ephesians were so great. Baloney. The Ephesians, remember, in chapter 4, had people that were still stealing, people that were still bitter, remember? They had their problems just like you. No, he's talking to you. He's saying, look, that he would grant you, according to not your criteria, not how you might think you're doing, not how my growth has been good this month, but how, according to what? The riches of his glory. When are we going to get it that God means it when he says he's gracious? That he's got this incredible storehouse of blessing. And all he wants to do now is grace out church-age believers to honor his son. Because he can. Because any barrier that might have been there was totally destroyed at the cross. Now, you still see barriers, I know it. But that's God doesn't. It was all wiped out at the cross for you who are in Christ Jesus. He says, look, according to the riches of his glory. That ought to be the standard. When you think about something that you pray for, and you say to yourself, well, I don't know if I really deserve it, or I don't know if this is really going to happen, then you're putting it according to the riches of your glory. But when you stop and think, no, wait a minute. According to the riches of his glory, can this happen? Then it's a totally different answer. Of course it can. Of course it can, according to the riches of his glory. That he would do what, though? Notice what's important to God. That you be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. What's going on inside? What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your awareness of who God is? What's going on in your sense of peace? That's what God wants the spirit to be at work doing. That you be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man so that, there it is again, who? Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the Spirit's job, is to get Christ dwelling in your heart. And that you, being rooted and grounded in theology, is that what it says? No. It says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to understand. You see, it's only as we're rooted and grounded. And by the way, the love that we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in isn't even ours. It's his. He wants us to be so secure in the Father's love for us. That's where it starts. If you want to understand these things, where it starts is with you letting God tell you over and over again how much he loves you and believing it and not doing the chatter. Well, must be other Christians he's talking about. No. He's talking to you. He calls you over and over again in the New Testament his beloved. That's his name for you, my beloved child. All right? But be grounded in it. You know how it is that you can have soil and you can have a plant and then the roots are there. Well, you know, there's some trees that for whatever reason the seed is on the surface and stuff happens and it doesn't really ever drive the roots down into it. And as a result of that, there's not a lot happen with the tree. It may sprout out really quick, but then as soon as something hits it, kaput. But when something's rooted and grounded in the soil of God's love. When you are rooted and grounded in the soil of his love for you, that's when things happen. That's when things happen. And he wants this for you. Romans 8. If God is for you, and he is, who could be against you? You know what the answer to that too often is? You. You're against yourself. You're always trying to talk yourself out of the blessings that God says he has for you. Stop it. I'm going to play Bob Newhart again. Stop it. Stop it. Now you, being rooted and grounded in his love for you, may be able to understand. How do you understand? By being rooted and grounded in his love for you. Then you'll understand. Isn't that so true about relationships? You know, somebody says something about what they want for you in your life, and you don't believe it. Why? Because you're not rooted and grounded in how much they love you. So you're naysaying what they're saying to you. But then whatever happens, however happens, and now all of a sudden you're rooted and grounded in their love for you. You're like, they really do love me. All of a sudden you want to listen to them. Isn't it true? Because in life, there's not too many people that we can really say we have this root and ground of love between us. There's not too many people. But when you have that, don't you want to be with those people? Aren't there certain people in your life that no matter what time it is, no matter what day it is, no matter what's happening to you, good, bad, or indifferent, you're happy to talk to them? There's not too many. There's way more people, and I know I'm as human as you are, that I really don't want to talk to a lot of the time. But the reason is because that love thing, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just kind of, maybe it's one way, or maybe they're whatever. I don't want to get into that part. I want this to be a night of positives. But you know, when you know what that is like. And so that's, God wants you to know that. He wants you to be secure in his love for you. Why do we think Romans 8 is so magnificent? So that we can get to the end of it after he's cleared the deck, remember? All the work we've done for the last year, seeing what God's doing in the book of Romans, to clear the decks of our heart of any of the yeah buts. Yeah, but my sins, whoosh, blood of Christ, right? Yeah, but I still have sin in my flesh, whoosh, you die with Christ at the cross. Yeah, but that law, it's there every day, and I don't like it, and I don't like what it's doing to me. You die to the law. See how he's clearing the decks? Why? So that you can get to chapter 8 and just say, oh, wow, we arrived. And not have the chatterbox. It's gone. And if there was anything left, believe me, by the time we get to the end of chapter 8, any of those things will be ticked off too. So we'll see we're more than conquerors. And that nothing will ever separate you from what? The love of God for you. That's what this is all about. And when you have that, when you're rooted and grounded in that love, guess what starts to happen? You start to understand. You know, you start to say, oh, that's so he really means it. Oh, so I do have all these blessings. Oh, I really am a child of God. Oh, all those things in the Bible that are talking about people in the flesh, that's not me. Because I'm beloved. Oh, all the judgment that he's talking about, that's not for me. Because I'm his beloved. That's why it's important to be rooted and grounded in his love. That you may be understand with all the saints. And notice this. As if it wasn't enough tonight to hear about the Spirit checking out the depths of God, we can sort of picture that. Now where does he go? You know what? He says, yeah, you're trying to get one dimension or two. You know, depths, the depths of God and the heavenly. That's two dimensions. Guess what? Now he's going to give you four. The breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And all the scholars out there, including myself, I love math, always have trouble with that. Well, that's four dimensions. There's only three, you know. I can't draw that. That's right. That's the point. Again and again, and especially in the book of Ephesians, Paul is stretching us, going beyond what we could ever think or imagine. You know, he says, you're going to be filled up to all the fullness of God. I can't imagine that. Stretch. Because the more we stretch, you know, the more room we have to be rooted and grounded in God's love. You're like, wow, he's blowing me away again. I guess he really does love me. You know? It's like, I don't know what this is like because I never had this, but let's just say you're a rich guy and you fall in love with a prostitute. And the prostitute's had a life where all she's ever done is kind of like use sex as a transaction and use relationships with men. They want something, I want something. So it's pretty terrible, actually, what she's been experiencing when it comes to a man. And so when this man comes into her life, she doesn't believe it. She doesn't think that this guy really loves her. But what happens is, again and again, day after day, he keeps showing up and showing her love and taking care of her and doing all of that and going to fight for her and going to court with her and again and again and again till finally she just gives up and says, I guess he loves me. Why? Because he just blew her mind. Well, that's what God does to us. If we pay attention enough, if we just listen, you know, if we just look at it, I don't know how you can look at Romans 8 or Ephesians 1 to 3 and not be excited about being God's kid. I don't know how you do it. Let's read it again. That verse 17, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you, personal now, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, and I love this next part, what? With all the saints. You see how that gets rid of the exclusivity ideas that we sometimes put in our heads?
Well, this is only for the winner believers.
No, it says that I'm going to do this with who? All the saints. With all the saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know the love of Christ, notice this, which surpasses knowledge. There's that stretching. You know, we're always more comfortable if what we're dealing with right now doesn't surpass knowledge. By the way, you know what the only way to be perfect is? Be small. That's the only way to be perfect is to be small. This is what I mean. I want to be a perfect basketball player. How do I, John Farley, 6 foot tall, way overweight, how can I be a perfect basketball player? You know how I can do it? I can define perfection as just watching a game or just shooting a layup. And if all I do is shoot a layup, by the way, a layup is when you're like 2 inches away and you just shoot it. I can be perfect at that. Look at that, I'm perfect. But as soon as I stretch myself and say, no, wait a minute, there's a lot more to it than that. I can't be perfect anymore. And so the people that want to be perfect actually have a really hard time with stuff like this. Because all God's trying to do is stretch you and move you away from the idea that you got it all down. That I know it all. You see, no, you don't. Sure, if you want to be perfect in your own head, then you just stay where you are with your real limited, boxed-in understanding of how great God is. But if you really want to live and understand why you were created, then you got to let these things stretch you. You may know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That you may be, notice this, how can you not need to be stretched when he wants you to be filled up with what? You, by the way, you, me, to be filled up with all the fullness of God. Hello? What is that? I don't know. Oh, you know, I mean, there was a time when I would, you know, pretend I knew and give you some Greek and tell you what these scholars think. I don't have the foggiest. Really, what it means to be filled up with all the fullness of God? And yet there it is. There it is, which is why we have a future. Yeah, there's more, a lot more. He says this can happen. You can be filled up with all the fullness of God. And that's why I think it's so ridiculous, all the fighting that is going on over what the filling of the Spirit is. Because when you see this, I'm telling you, when you say that what God wants for you with the Spirit inside of you is for you, is for Christ to dwell in your heart and to be filled up with all the fullness of love and to do far more abundantly beyond what we ask or think and to know the love of Christ, if that's what he wants in your life, man, that is fullness. And when I think about all the debates and arguments and discussions and then look at that, I'm embarrassed. This is the fulfilling that the Spirit is doing in our lives. Let's just celebrate that. And that's the truth. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And that's something. Now, he can do it. He's able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that already is in us, that's working within us. That's the Spirit in your life. To him be the glory in the church. How can it not be? And in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever, amen. That's what he's working on. That's the scope that he's working on. All generations, forever and ever, amen. And my gosh, don't we try to compress that all the time? That we're so worried and focused on what's happening in my little life right now. Some bad thought I had or something I don't understand or whatever. And he's on a scale of eternity in both directions that he's operating on. And I'm telling you, the more that we jump into that and abide in that kind of way of seeing life, the more fun it'll be, the more exciting it'll be, the happier we'll be. Because after all, not only is the Holy Spirit, you know, revealing these things to us, disclosing all the truth to us and all these things we've been looking at tonight, but he's also working on us. He's conforming us to the image of Christ. He's basically saying this. He's saying, like we were in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, where we saw things I hasn't seen and searching the depths of God. And he's saying, here's something else about Christ. Something else about him. Here it is. Here in Ephesians 3, something else about Christ. This love that he has goes way beyond anything you can think or imagine. That's something about Christ. So he reveals to us something about Christ. Then he turns around to us and says, look, you are becoming more like this thing about Christ. You understand what I'm saying? He's saying, hey, this is Christ. I'll give you an easy one, like patience. Christ has amazing patience. And then he turns around, and once we get it, wow, that's an amazing thing about Christ. Then he turns to us and says, oh, and by the way, you're becoming more and more like that. He who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. You are being conformed to the image of Christ. So not only are we seeing it, he then turns around and tells us, and I'm at work in you, making that happen in you. And again, that's a great reason to wake up in the morning. I don't know about you, but the more I look at, I used to really not like to look at the sin lists much in the Bible. It really depressed me. For two reasons. First of all, it's like, I'm a member of that race? But then I saw too much of it in me, and I was scared of that. You know? But when you realize this power is at work in you, you can say to yourself, wow, wait a minute. So I know that he is at work. If I'm impatient, if I get bitter, if I get discouraged too easily, like he said in the book of Philippians, if you got a bad attitude, don't worry. It'll get changed. It'll get revealed to you. And so he's at work changing us. Now all of a sudden, I'm not really intimidated by that list anymore, because greater is he that's in me. And I know that the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from that law of sin and death. So I can just look at it now and say, you're not a match for the Spirit in me. And that's a totally better way of living. It's a good reason to get up in the morning when we understand these things that he's doing for us. And so one day, all that is in Christ, you're in Christ, I'm in Christ. One day, all that is in Christ will be completely Christ. Can you imagine what that day is going to be? We say we're the body of Christ, and we are. But one day, we're going to be completely Christ. And I don't even know how to say it other than that. We're in him now, but the Spirit's at work in us. But there's going to be a day. The Bible says that the whole universe will be filled with righteousness. I don't know how that's going to work either, but I can't wait. And one day, we who are in Christ will be completely Christ. Because it says that we will see him and we will know him because we'll be like him, John says in 1 John. I don't get that either, but I'm really excited about seeing that. And I'm also, and I hope you are, excited about the work the Holy Spirit's going to do in our future while we're still here to get us closer to that. And that's a reason to get up in the morning. The whole universe one day will be this, will be totally glorious again. Because that's what God is doing, you know. We need to soak these things up again and again and again. Just like we need to soak up Romans 8 again and again and again, we also need to soak up Ephesians 1 again and again and again and again. So please turn there right now. I want you to see Ephesians chapter 1, the big picture. And I mean big. So let's just do this by the time we have remaining tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's not that many. It's only 23 verses. So it's like 23 Twitters. If you read 23 Twitters today, then we can read the chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Or tweets. Is that what they call them? I have no idea. I don't know what I'm talking about. I think that's a good thing. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Lighthouse Point, Ephesus, yes, but also here, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Where are you always faithful? In your job? No, in Christ Jesus, yeah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When was the last time you realized that God sends you something every day? It's grace and peace. That's what he wants for you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And again, I don't see any qualification there. I don't see any yeah, but. I think all the yeah, buts come from our flesh. That's what I think. because they certainly don't come from God's word, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Can you feel a stretching going on? Can you feel we came here tonight and we had our little world and our little place where we were trying to be perfect, and then he stretches us. He says, wait a minute. You're all fussing and fuming about April 15th, 2015. Let me tell you something. Before this world had foundations, I blessed you and I chose you. I chose all of you. And in Christ, I chose you because I had a special thing I wanted just for you. For you, the group, the body, the vessel. I want you to be the people that for all of eternity, I'm going to point to and say, here's where it happened. Where God says, the richest riches that I am richly able in my glory to be rich about, I gave them. And that's why we're here. And you know, oh, I know, I hear the yeah buts, I hear the negativity, I hear all of that going on, because we all have it. Get rid of it. It's got nothing to, it's not because you did this, or you were smart, or you listened to the preacher. No. He did it. When did he do it? He did it before the foundation of the world. See how that takes us out? It takes our little box and throws it away. He did it before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. I don't see any qualification there either. It's just going to happen. In love, in what? In love, he predestined us to what?
To salvation to some and to others to the lake of fire.
No, that's not in the Bible. No, he predestined us to adoption as sons. Meaning that when he chose us, he said, and I will make them my sons and daughters. Because he has a special purpose for us. And it's what he wants. It's what he wants for all of his creation that ultimately is going to come to pass. A special purpose. And we have to be sons, not slaves, in order to fulfill the special purpose that he has. Okay, now he does other places talk about people as slaves and bondservants. But here he's saying, no, you need to be sons to really be what I want you to be. Because it's a son that gets graced out because they're a member of the family. Period. That's what he's talking about. And he wants to show the riches of his grace to us. Through Jesus Christ to himself, according to, notice this, he didn't have to put that in there, the kind intention of his will. God the Father is going overboard in the New Testament to tell us how much he loves us and to how kind his heart is disposed towards us. Overboard, like that. He could have just said according to the intention of his will. And that would have been cool enough, but then he has the little word kind, gracious. Love it. To the praise and the glory of his grace. See how we're transformed. We're just pulled way, way, way out of wherever we started tonight when we got here. We're not in our problems or our failures. We're in the riches of his grace, period, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood. And what you have in Christ, that's a key. Already have it. The forgiveness of our trespasses, already have it. According to what? According to my good decisions. And the fact that every 2 minutes I confess my sins. That's how I got it. No, you didn't. You, according to the riches of his grace, which he what? Lavished on us. He could have just said, I did it, be happy. He goes way beyond. He says, no, the riches of my grace. And I'm lavishing it on you. In all wisdom and insight, God made known to us the mystery of his will. According to, there he goes again. According to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ. And notice why. With a view to an administration, a household being run, the word actually comes from, suitable to what? The fullness of the times. There's something going on that's fullness like we've never seen before. What is that? Notice what he calls it. The summing up of all things, where? In Christ. Summing up, and again, if anybody tells you they totally understand that, they're lying to you. Okay? The summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. The only thing I can tell you about this tonight, and this probably won't have to close, is that, you know, when things got all messed up, when things started breaking apart, when God's perfect design for everything he made started to fracture, it started in the heavens. Right? It didn't start here. It started in the heavenly places. Because even today, we know what's in the heavenly places today that we don't really want to think about, but they're there. Right? The spiritual forces of wickedness are in the heavenly places. That's where it all started. But in Christ, everything in the heavenlies is being, what? Summed up. And on earth. That's where we're more used to what's going on earth. And of course, things have been falling apart on earth ever since Adam and Eve too, when you think about it. The Bible is obviously all kinds of things. And when we get to Ephesians 1 to 3 and Romans 8, it's marvelous. But you know, a lot of the Bible is actually telling the story of how man was fractured and fractured things and broke things. And things fell apart that God wanted a certain way, but he didn't get that. He wanted Israel to be a certain way. He didn't get it. All of a sudden, the kingdoms are fractured. There's the north and the south, and they fight each other for hundreds of years. He didn't want that. Families today are all broken up. God doesn't want that. And yet, that's going on. But God's power is greater, and in Christ, these things are all going to be put together. The togetherness that we're going to be a part of when we have the new heavens and the new earth is going to blow your socks off. Everything's going to be in the right place again. We're going to be connected to it all. And we're going to just have a great time for all of eternity enjoying the marvelousness of God and how he put it all back together again. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, right? All the king's horses and all the king's men, the world and man and the flesh couldn't put Humpty together again. But God can. And the amazing thing is that he's doing it now and he's starting with us. That's the amazing thing to think about. He says, the first thing I want to do is I want to have my children tight. Together. Why does he say all the things he does about be of the same mind, be united? Why is he always worried? He seems to be like really worried about families, right? Like how husbands and wives, how the husband's loving his wife. He's like really concerned about that. What does that tell you? Because God is into togetherness. He wants families to work. He wants marriages to work. He wants nations to work. Why would he say be in subordination to the governing authorities? Because that's the way it ought to be. And you see, it's all building. If you think about that, it's all building up to what? To everything one day being in its proper place in Christ. Now, I don't understand all that, but I do know this, that by me lining up and laying down my life according to what the New Testament epistles are telling us how to live, that we're participating in that now. When a man says, you know what, things aren't great right now in this marriage or in this family, but I know there's a bigger thing going on. It's not just me and her anymore. It's a bigger thing. This is actually a picture of Christ and his church. And I'm going to trust him and turn to the resources of the Spirit to put that, let him put that together. I can't do it. I'm done, but he can. And since he is building everything together in his son, then he's certainly got the ability to do that. So it makes a difference. Yeah, we've been big picture tonight. But as we close, bring it back down. The simple gestures, the simple question you may ask a member of your family or a member of this church, what can I do to help? Simple. That can be part of this building rather than falling apart thing that God is so much at work doing through those who are in Christ Jesus, who have the Spirit inside, who have the power and can understand the kind of love that can raise a man from the dead and keep people together that don't have a lot in common. And so, I didn't get anywhere near, you know how that goes. But please, you know, please read the rest of chapter 1 for your own well-being tonight, or whenever you get a chance to it, when we see what this is all about a little bit more, and he gets back to that power inside of us, and that he is the head over all things, and that with the body, and in some mysterious way, we are to be the fullness of Christ. And I don't know what that means yet either, but I sure am excited, like Dale, to find out. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight for this opportunity to just spend some time understanding, seeing, realizing the big picture, to realize that you are summing up all things in your Son, and that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And it'll take us this life and a million others to really see and enjoy all those things. But we can get started right now. And we hope we did tonight, and we just hope that the Spirit continues to bring us to those places so that we can see more and more what it means to be in Christ, and then also what, more and more about what it means to participate in Christ. And we ask this in His name by the power of the Spirit. Amen.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will...